Well, the government has discontinued Crown funding for our country's future energy centre, Araake, which was announced in the budget. And today we are joined by Matt Danaher, who's working on behalf of Kaimahi across the country most of his career. He's with us today. Now, Matt, thank you for joining us on Radio Wātea. A warm welcome. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Thanks for having me.
Kia ora, Matt. So, tell us about Araake, what the effect is going to have on workers and on our people who call Taranaki home, as an example, already facing job losses and uncertainty in the transition away from oil and gas. Some of our people won't be familiar with the change. If you'd be kind enough to just give us an overview of what has occurred, please, Matt. We're interested to know how it will affect our people at home, but also those in the work space. Call it all my Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. So, I mean, it's really important to note that since the move away from oil and gas, driven by a whole number of factors, there's been at least 1,700 jobs lost from Taranaki, which feeds into the wider 41,000 jobs lost in this country since 2022 in traditional kind of industries like oil and gas, construction, food and manufacturing and things like that. And the role of Araake was really to focus on supporting communities and organisations and businesses that wanted to innovate, that wanted to create clean energy solutions, and basically address the fact that, you know, the challenge that faces regional New Zealand isn't simply about reducing emissions and having a more sustainable environment. It's also about making sure that we don't lose those decent, well-paid, skilled jobs that have kept regional New Zealand, not least New Plymouth, but elsewhere across the country, alive, essentially. I think sometimes people who live in more urban areas don't realise that you go to regional New Zealand, you go to these towns where actually it's like, yeah, it's a small town, it's isolated, but actually it seems to be doing quite well. That's because of the workers there who earn decent wages and choose to stay in their communities and keep those communities alive. And unfortunately, we're seeing those go. We're seeing them go to Australia. I'm sure everyone listening knows people who have gone to Australia to find other work, or people who are still in this country and have lost good jobs and are now faced with trying to find something else. And the whole point of Araake was around not just, you know, supporting people to have warmer, drier homes and things like that, as important as all those things are, but really about innovating to look at, you know, sustainable fuels for aviation in the future, to look at potential fusion electricity, some really amazing stuff that New Zealand could do really well if the government chose to invest in supporting that to happen.
Tēnā koe, Matt. So these jobs are lost, and I note that the situation is now being handed across to the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Authority, or EECA, and being directed into solar panels for schools, etc. But what does the decision signal about the government's commitment to a just transition for regions who have been dependent on fossil fuel industries? And how does folding Araake's work into the EECA structure change the level of regional support available to workers and therefore businesses in places like Taranaki, Matt?
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly the right question. You know, EECA, it's absolutely doing important work. No one would deny that it's a really good thing to solarise schools and things like that. But the reality is it doesn't take into account the fact that actually we have a huge ability to maintain decent work in regional New Zealand simply by making best use of the resources we've got in a renewable and clean way. Through some of those examples that I've given, you know, biofuel has a huge future in terms of providing clean and sustainable energy. Hydrogen has a huge future. And this is all stuff we have here in abundance and we are capable of using. And we have workers who are actually really knowledgeable about this sort of stuff. But unfortunately, they're seeing their jobs going and they're going off to Australia. And that's great for Australia. But, you know, where does it leave regional New Zealand?
Well, yeah, exactly. What alternative plans, if any, to replace the role Araake played in creating sustainable jobs and future energy opportunities in Taranaki? Do you see that those workers, and it's very easy to talk of numbers and thinking that it's one worker, but these are family men, family women who are responsible for putting kai on the table. We have a desperate situation in New Zealand of poverty in households. We just had some rather challenging and disturbing figures of the plight of pensioners, beneficiaries. The huge amount of New Zealanders who are living on around $30,000 a year, Matt. So when you lose a job, it's not just the one job we're talking about. It's the whole ecosystem that the whānau is reliant on. So with that in mind, how devastating is this news when we look at the closure of Araki and the impact it will have literally on the quality of life within those households of those kaimaki?
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly it. It is devastating. And you're absolutely right. Every one of these workers is supporting 2, 3, 4 people. And they'll no longer be doing that. Or if they are, it'll be from overseas. And then all of the problems you have with people, you know, flying in and flying out as well, and the fact they don't get to spend that quality time in their communities and with their whānau anymore. So, look, we think that there needs to be, the government needs to take a much more active role, actually, in continuing to support innovation in our regions, enabling workers and business to come together with local government and regional government to actually decide what do they need for their communities for the future, what skills do they have, what can they bring to the table, and what support do they need to be able to like activate that and continue to have communities that are dynamic and have people with well-paid jobs that can then put that money back into the community as they always do. You know, there doesn't seem to be a plan for that, and it feels like this is managed decline and that the government are just blaming everything on, you know, global factors beyond their control. And sure, they've got no control over whether America attacks Iran or whatever, but they have got control over whether they invest in supporting decent work in our regions.
Tēnā koe. Most New Zealanders pride ourselves. We love our country. We love our people. Fair-minded is a reputation that we have. And as these the drift to a populist right politics, not just in New Zealand but globally, and as these parties present position themselves as centre-right advocates or pro-business, must it always be anti-worker to be pro-business? What would you say about the real resource in any organisation is its people, and is it possible to be pro-worker whilst maintaining the mana of the kaimahi who help businesses survive and grow?
Absolutely, and I was recently talking to a manager of a pack and save or supermarket, sorry, in Tokoroa. When there was the most recent job losses there sort of late last year, and he was making the case that, you know, these people were his customers. They were people that contributed to the success of his business, and he saw them every day, and he saw the money that they and their families spent in the community. And that's why, you know, he knew that there needed to be decent work in his community. And the reality is that we have these, you know, we have a huge abundance of critical minerals in this country that could be, with the support of organisations like Araake, could actually be utilised in a sustainable and environmentally friendly way, as indeed that organisation was supporting with certain projects. We have got, you know, endless abilities to have, you know, hydrogen and to have total 100% renewable energy. And all of that needs to be done by people who need qualifications, who need extensive periods of apprenticeships and things like that, and therefore are able, especially when they're unionised, and traditionally these industries are unionised, they are able to also advocate for themselves collectively to have decent work.
The government effectively works for us, so that makes the decision in November doubly important. But surely the correlation between challenges for justice that exist in the Māori world and alongside working class people should be celebrated more. We seem to have lent into a particularly crass capitalist system here, and surely good employers should understand how important it is to care for and to give opportunities to their staff. What would you say about what seems to be constantly the gaffers and the workers butting heads, Matt?
Look, I think it's unfortunate and short-sighted when employers do take that approach. They don't always, but it does feel that under certain colours of government, those workers that do want to butt heads with their, those employers that do want to butt heads with their workers feel emboldened. And, you know, the reality is employers are always going to want to do what they think is best for their business, often in the short term. And it's certainly things are not helped when governments decide to remove or restrict people's rights to, for instance, have personal grievances, you know, the ability to take their employer to the court if they've been mistreated, treated unfairly. You know, we've seen recent legislation changes that basically make it a lot easier for employers to dismiss anyone they just don't like the look of without any fear of reprisals.
Well, it just seems that a constant flow of negative information, Matt, about job losses and the like. But it's comforting to know, reassuring that we have people who are going into bat for working class people across the country, and the voice of those challenges need to be loud and proud. Thanks so much for joining us on our program today, Matt, and continued success with the mahi you're involved in. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dale.
Ka kite. Tēnā koe. Danaha talking there about the loss of jobs from the fuel sector out of Taranaki. Now with the change of structures of who oversees what. You were